In the name of God, Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer.
Amen.
Amen. Please be seated. So this morning we turn back in our gospel lections to Matthew. Matthew being the organizational gospel for year A, which is the lectionary year that we're in. And here in this verse 23, he sets forth the summary of Jesus' ministry, what Jesus is going to be about. He will teach, he will preach, and he will heal. And we're going to hear how he's going to do that in the next several weeks. We're going to hear the Sermon on the Mount. We're going to hear about healing, and we're going to hear about the 12 disciples being sent out, the sending forth of the 12. But now we're going to jump back a bit and get those 12 together in the first place. We're going to find them. Jesus is now beginning his inner circle, his trusted advisors, the leaders of the early church, the people that are going to really be his hands and feet and mouth to proclaim the gospel. Now, if you were here last week, this is a complete contrast in some ways, but fairly good contrast to what we heard in John's gospel last week, where John didn't go through all 12, but he got us started with the calling. And you might remember, there's this kind of one-by-one gradual inclusion of people, and they spend time with him, and they end up spending all day. And of course, the theme was come and see. You know, Jesus invites them into discussion, come and see. Well, this is, of course, a very, very different kind of approach. We're not hearing that, let's spend all day and get to know you, not the gradual warm-up, the conversation, the sharing, all of that will follow. So that's the problem of being a preacher. No sooner do you put something together that you make perfect, things make sense, that it's upended by another gospel that turns it around in the other direction. So here we go. So you might say that while last week was come and see, this Sunday might be entitled Drop What You're Doing or Don't Walk Wrong Method. You know, immediately they stop what they're doing, immediately they leave their boats, immediately they leave everybody behind. So maybe our 75th motto should be, drop what you're doing, but come and see, and put it together that way, and we would solve all the problems. So to begin, let me share the comments of David Ewart, writing in Holy Textures about this passage. The commander invitation to Peter, Andrew, James, and John to follow me is not, I wonder if you would consider the possibility of tagging along if you have time and if it's not too inconvenient. Rather, the work continues, the command to follow is to accompany, to learn from, respond to, be loyal to, abide in. The leaving of fathers and fishing establishes a new set of kinship relationships. Jesus and his followers, a new occupation. Then he goes on, and here's, I think, he says something that comforts us in a bit. But for modern hearers of this story, and probably for all hearers of this story, beginning with the early generation of followers of Jesus, there are challenges to this drop what you're doing called discipleship. First of all, we might remember that Jesus was single, and he's asking followers seemingly to leave their families. How do our relationships with friends or family compromise or make it difficult to live the way of Jesus in this all or nothing approach? And the other is that Jesus was itinerant. He traveled from place to place with no permanent residence of his own, and yet he's asking his followers to leave their homes and follow him. How do the responsibilities of jobs or housing or mortgages or kids or aging parents or pets even, how do those get in the way of coming and following Jesus without hesitation? Good points, I think. It's easy to say that it was easy for Jesus. footloose and fancy free to follow his call, his dream, all that he wanted to do for his faith. And we can't. I mean, we're nailed down in a lot of ways. We just can't get up and go anywhere that God tells us to go. But on the other hand, we can follow. And Mr. Ewart's thoughts about those limitations are opening to the discussion. If we have many claims on our lives and our time, maybe there's more of a way than we think. And let's read the passage more closely. Matthew advances his story by what seemed to be random or choice, or chance rather, encounters. As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers. Matthew tells us that they are Simon and Peter, and Jesus assumes correctly that they are fishermen for obvious reasons. He tells them to follow him, and seemingly without question, they do. But the detailed question to ask is, did Jesus know that they were brothers? It could have been a lucky guess, but the implication in the narrative is that Jesus knew that they were brothers. It says simply, he saw two brothers. If Matthew were filling in the details, if he was telling us something Jesus didn't know, it would probably read, he was walking by the Sea of Galilee, and he saw Andrew and John, and they were brothers. But that's not the way it reads. It happens again with the calling of James and John. He saw two other brothers. Matthew again provides their names with the added detail that they're fishing with their father. But it seems as if Jesus just sees these people and knows who they are. At least he knows their relationships. So if you're calling people to follow and belong, bringing people together who are already family is a good idea. The existing relationships will also be strengthened. But still that question, did Jesus know these guys before he asked them to sign up? And maybe he did. I mean, after all, the geographic world of Jesus was very small. It was only about 100 miles. That's all Jesus ever traveled, at the most, in any direction. And there were not a lot of people around. I mean, Bethlehem had about 3,000 people, it's believed. Nazareth had 500. Word would get out. You'd know who was in the neighborhood. You would know who your friends were. You would know maybe who are the right people to call as disciples. The world is a much smaller place than we realize. I had a stunning example of that this week. The UPS driver showed up for delivery to bring you coffee, you'll be relieved to know, for coffee hour, and I came out to greet him, and then the subject turned to the weather, and he said, boy, it sure is. And I said, yes, it sure has been cloudy. That's something I'm getting used to since we moved here. And he said, well, where did you happen to move from? And I said, New Hampshire. And he said, oh, wow. He said, my sister lives in Newmarket. Do you know it? And I said, yes, it's the town next to where we lived. Now, I've seen this guy for about 3 years. The weather happened to be the opening. What are the chances that at 1,000-mile distance, this gentleman's brother lives next door to the community that we came from? So if that could be a connection, Jesus sure had connections when he was growing up, when he was calling his 12, when he was calling his disciples. So if Jesus knew people to call, he knew them because of their eagerness or their openness or their inquisitive spirit. He knew them perhaps because they had a readiness to learn more, to spread the good news, to care for those in need, to share their lives that others might live more fully. I suspect that Jesus called people that he knew at least were up to that challenge. We need those people in any organization. We need followers and leaders and volunteers, and we need them here at St. Annual meeting is in 2 weeks. We will be electing a vestry. We'll be asking people to help lead us. You'll be hearing from many people who have given time and talent to this parish church, and just about every aspect and endeavor of our common life could use more helpers, more disciples, more followers, more people who say yes. The question is the same as Jesus asked. How do I answer God's call to serve? How do I fit in? How do I contribute to the life of St. Michael? Or to put it differently, if Jesus were to walk up to you and say, I need you to serve on the vestry, follow me, would you say yes? Or I need you to visit the sick, follow me. Or I need you to plan a lunch, laugh, and learn program, follow me. Or I need you to sing in the choir, follow me. Or to help plan and lead how St. Michael's can be a more effective presence in our community, follow me. Jesus intuited that his disciples had greater gifts than they either knew or thought they had. And I bet they were surprised at Jesus' confidence in them. So is God calling you to help? Do you feel you could do more? Are you willing to be asked? Are you hesitant that you can't or don't have the skills? But if you are asked, will you be surprised when you say yes? Well, then you'll be like Andrew and Peter and James and John and Mary, Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene and Phoebe and all of those early disciples who were surprised when Jesus said, follow me, who were intrigued when he said, follow me, who were reticent when he said, follow me, but were willing and whose answer was yes. In the name of God, Creator, Redeemer, and Blessed.